and welcome to episode 16 of The Good, The Bad, and The Beautiful. I'm Erin Clark, and as usual, I am just so thankful that you've chosen to spend this time with me today as we talk about the good, the bad, and the beautiful. Every day is a new day, and every day has the opportunity for joy, for pain, for sickness, for health. And I'm thankful to be able to share all of those moments with you. Today, I'm going to talk about a question that somebody has asked me. And I actually get this question quite a bit, probably because my girls are 15, 12, and 10. And they know that when you have three preteen teenage girls, that there's hormones going to be a flowing. And so I often get asked about any advice on hormonal girls. Lucky Mark, he's got four girls in the house. And so he actually should be answering this because he'd be an expert in the ups and downs of hormonal hormonal women. But that probably would not do him any favors to talk about it publicly, because we would probably inevitably be offended by him. And it's probably best if I just take the reins on this one. I think it's really cool that women reach out and ask these questions, that they ask questions of people that are ahead of them in years with their kids and are able to glean or gleam. Oh man, is it glean or gleam? I don't know, but able to learn from those ahead. And I value that so much because I love asking questions from women before me. I love watching people and see how they do things. Okay, I'm going to take that and do that with my girls. Or, okay, yeah, I don't see how that would work with us. But I think it's really helpful. And then be available to those who are coming up behind you as well. And so call it mentorship, call it just being the village for one another. Overall, I just think it's super important. And so this question was, any advice on hormonal girls? I'm wondering, in the last little bit, my daughter's almost nine, where did my sweet, caring, always lovely child go? And I think this is a great question because it does feel, and I can only speak to girls because that's all I have. I can only speak from my experience with girls because that is my experience. I'm not an expert on this. My background is in early childhood education. So I do understand the background of development of girls and whatnot, but I'm speaking primarily from my own personal experiences and what has worked within our home and within our lives. And so the first thing that I would say to moms or parents questioning, like, what happened overnight? Something has switched in my child and I don't get it. Where did this come from? My first response would be, it'll pass, and then it'll return, and then it'll pass, and then it'll return. So have hope, knowing that this too shall pass, and then it will come back. Because, as you know, if you're a woman listening, and if you're a man, you would probably have your own personal experiences with seeing the ups and downs of hormones changing and relationships. And so my biggest advice from my own experiences and what I have tried to lean into in these instances is to always keep the relationship as your focus. And so what I mean by that is it's very easy for us to get wrapped up in the emotions of those moments. But at the end of the day, you want a relationship with your child. You don't want them to be closed off. You don't want them to feel they're going through a lot. Their bodies are changing. Their minds are changing. They're trying to push back to see if they're in control, how they see the world. Sometimes they don't even understand what's going on in their own bodies and in their own minds. that's overwhelming. That's super overwhelming. Like, think as an adult, you all of a sudden you're teary and you're emotional, or you're frustrated and angry, and you're like, God, why is this? Oh, wait a second, my period must be coming, or whatever it might be. And we're talking about a 9-year-old, so it might not be period related, but their hormones are changing. Their bodies are slowly shifting, and they're starting to try to figure out where they land in this world. And so one thing that I would recommend, especially starting at a young age, is setting up, whether it be their bedroom or a special place in their home. My girls have often shared rooms within the house, but I've always created a space that's like their own, that they can escape to, be by themselves, and give them practical and tangible releases for their feelings. And because they're going to feel angry at times, they're going to feel emotional at times, and that's not acceptable. So when I talk about relationship, it doesn't mean that we just condone it and are like, oh, it's just this. No, no, they need to know that it's not acceptable to react. It's okay to feel this way, but it's not acceptable to take it out on me or taking it out on your sister. So they do need to understand that there's consequences for their actions. You can't disrespect me, even though you're upset. And so if you create a space that's their own, their consequence can be to send them there. It's like you can look at them and say, you know what? You're upset right now. We're going to talk about this later, but for now, I need you to go to your room and cool down a bit, or your space. And so you can't just send them to a space without giving them things to be able to have an outlet. I think we have to teach kids like actual tactics in order to release their emotions. And so what I did with my girls that I found really helpful is to set up their rooms with, give them a journal, and tell them, hey, this journal is yours. This is yours alone, unless you'd like me to read something. But know that I'm not going to read this journal. This is for your thoughts. This is a way, and you explain to them, like, you can write it like a dear diary. You can do it. My girls all write in their journal as prayers to God. And that's how they talk to God and are able to communicate in that way. And I think that's really important to build that trust. And then you as a parent have to have the discipline not to read their journal, to actually follow through on that and give them that outlet. Another thing that we've done is give music. They have access to a music device in their room. So my girls have record players and records, or it connects with Bluetooth. When they go to the room, they don't take electronics with them, but they do have access to music. Music is really important in our home. It is a great outlet for them to be able to feel it and engage in their emotions. And that's been great. Maybe drawing supplies, whatever your child's outlet might be. Maybe you have Play-Doh in their room, something tactile that they can do that takes their mind off or helps their mind to process. Even as an adult, I know I have, my outlet is painting. So if I have something big going on, or I know my emotions are out of whack, or I just feel overwhelmed or stressed, my tendency is to paint a room. I just painted my bathroom the other day. That's what I do to get my mind going, and I work through problems that way. I think it doesn't just work to say, hey, deal with this. Like, these are emotions, move on. It's no, like, let's give you a safe place where you can freak out, you can cry, you can yell, whatever you need to do. But then it's also a place that they can have refuge, that they can feel safe and express their feelings and emotions in that way. And so I think that that is super important because it also then gives you time to kind of cool off and remove the emotions from it. Make sure you're open with your child and talking to them, not in that moment, but after when things have cooled off, and just be like, hey, like, do you know why you're crying? Like, do you know why you're losing it on us? And maybe they don't understand why, but maybe they're able to just say like, hey, this is the reason. And then you can work from there. I just think it's super important that we're not always just taking it to a level 10. Because even as adults, again, we need outlets of our own. And so at the end of the day, at the end of this season, like, these seasons do move forward. Like, they're not always going to be hormonal forever. They're not always going to be ups and downs. And what I notice is that around 9, it peaks. Around 11, it peaks. Around 13, it peaks. And there's days when you're just like, I don't understand. Like, when did I become the enemy? When did I become like the hated person in the house? That's how it feels sometimes. And then when you remove your emotions from it, it's like, okay, no, it's not actually me. I'm just the safe person where they feel like they can take it out on. And so another important thing is, as a mom, like, how do we cool down? Cool. So we send them to their rooms for their break. And we'd get to the point after a while where my girls just knew. They knew that they needed to self-regulate. It's like training them up to self-regulate. And just like I needed to learn how to self-regulate. And I know, okay, when things are too much, when I know I'm going to lose it, like I'm going to lose my stuff on these kids, I go and I fill a bath and I take a bath and I read a book, or I go and I listen to a podcast or watch a Netflix show, like whatever it might be. I need something. I need my outlet. I love to journal too, which is a newer thing for me, but go and take that time, like light a candle, sit in a room with a lit candle so that when you go back, you can actually have engaging conversations with your child of how you feel in this. And I always try to bring personal experiences into my conversations with the girls. Share it so that you can engage in meaningful conversation with your girls. Don't ever stop learning, trying to understand the minds of your girls. It's good, again, explain hormones to your girls, how they can be an indicator or how they can control us. Like, we're the teachers. We need to teach our kids healthy coping mechanisms. They can't just know it. Like, nothing comes without time, without nurturing it. And it's super important, like, overall, just continue to make sure that your daughter knows that she is loved, that she is treasured. Because beyond hormones, there is so much going on in a girl's mind and heart that we don't even know. We don't know the inner struggles that she's feeling. Maybe she's feeling less than. Maybe she is feeling inadequate or unattractive. Like, all of these things play in our kids' minds and in our kids' hearts, whether we think that they have the maturity to understand it or not. So we need to make sure, as parents, as adults, that we are encouraging the person that our child is. They need to know that they are beloved, that you see them as the person that they are and not what's going on in their minds. Continue to, like I was saying, like, research, grow. Some great books and minds on this stuff is Dana Gresh. She is a great voice when it comes to girls. She has a book that I've read every year, and it's called How to Keep the Little in Your Girls. And I just think she's got great tangible advice on all things girl related. Another new book that I am really, really enjoying, and it's helping me like personally as a woman, but also how to pour into my girls. It's called Courageous, Being Daughters Rooted in Grace. And it's by Tara A. Matson. And I'll put the links in the show notes here. But I just think it's really important to just keep growing. Ask questions. Reach out to somebody that you have seen with girls that are older. That it's like, oh, they actually seem like they have a good relationship. I wonder how that happened. And continue to every day just be praying, be like, just hold on to Christ and find your strength in Him, and just have grace. Be humble as a mother. Be humble to your girls. Make sure you apologize when we make errors. There are too many times to count that I've had to just like apologize for my overreacting or me coming to their level when they're freaking out. And just help them. The biggest thing that our girls are going to grow and learn from isn't so much of what we say, although our words are super important, but it's how we act, how they see us. Like, I'm constantly trying to check myself. Like, am I healthy emotionally? Am I healthy physically? Am I healthy within my relationships? Because my girls are watching. How am I dealing with the monthly changes that happen? And if they see the healthy coping mechanisms that we've put in place, and then in turn, we're training them to be able to self-regulate and self-manage their own emotions, they're going to be healthier adults. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have a range of emotions. I don't want my daughters to be robots. I want them to feel the full range of emotions. I want them to feel anger, sadness, joy, because without one, you can't fully experience the other. And so know that you are, I say this all the time, but you are the parent or the caregiver that God has given to this child for this season of their life. And He has given us all the tools that we need in order to see them through and see them become competent women who are courageous and joy-filled, and we can have a beautiful relationship with them, I believe. And so know that I'm on this journey with you, and I get it and I see it, and I hope that this is an encouragement to you. Thank you for listening to The Good, The Bad, and The Beautiful. If you're interested in homeschooling, you can follow along on my podcast, Homeschooling with Erin Clark. Please subscribe to both podcasts, and it would mean the world to me if you could leave a 5-star review. It just helps to get the word out. If you'd like to follow me in the Instagram world, you can follow me at Erin E. Clark or on my blog at erineclark.com. Until next time, have a fabulous day.